When you make decisions for your company, you always look for the no-brainers. And if you have a lot of mailing and shipping to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. It streamlines your process to make your business more efficient, which makes you less busy. Mail checks, invoices, legal documents, books, and everything you need to keep your business running with Stamps.com. Seamlessly connect with every major marketplace and shopping cart if you sell online. Schedule package pickups through the dashboard and automatically see your cheapest and fastest shipping options from different carriers with rates up to 89% off USPS and UPS rates. And with the Stamps.com mobile app, you can take care of mailing and shipping wherever you are, even on the go. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other business decision makers with Stamps.com. Sign up at Stamps.com with code PROGRAM for a special offer that includes a 4-week trial, plus free postage, and a free digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. That's Stamps.com, code PROGRAM.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
911, what are you reporting?
I got a strange going on out here. Something just killed my dog.
Something killed your dog?
My dog went flying through the air over the tree. I don't know how it did it.
Okay.
Damn it, I'm really confused. All I saw was my dog coming over the fence, and he was dead when she hit the ground. I didn't see any cars. All I saw was my dog coming over the fence.
What are you reporting?
We got someone or something crawling around out here.
Did you see what it was?
It was. It was standing up. I'm out here looking through the window now and I don't see anything. I don't want to go outside. Jesus Christ, you better...
Sheriff?
Yeah.
Hello?
Get somebody out here.
What's going on now, sir?
That son of a bitch is about 6 foot nine, I don't know.
Do you see him now, sir?
Yes, I'm looking right at him.
Hey, everybody, this is Les Stroud. Yes, I know, a.k.a. Survivor Man. And you're listening to Brian in Sasquatch Odyssey.
Guys, and welcome back to Sasquatch Odyssey. Thank you guys so much for clicking play. We've got an amazing story time lined up for you, but as always, I want to start the show by inviting you. If you've had an encounter and you'd like to be on the show, shoot me an email. You can get me at brian@sasquatchodyssey.net. You can head over to the website, check out our Patreon, become a member there, and help support the show. As I said, it is Thursday, so it's time for some story time, and I've got like 4 great stories for you guys this week, and again, I pulled them off of Deborah Hatswell's just amazing group of stories that she's got on her website that she's compiled over the years, so many, many, many thanks to Deborah for that. I think you're really going to enjoy the stories this week. But before we get there, as always, if you would, just take a couple of seconds, rate and review the show wherever you're listening. If you're on Apple Podcasts, leave us a review, leave us something over there. It goes a long way in helping other people find the show. I would greatly appreciate it. And as always, if you wouldn't mind throwing a couple of bucks into the kitty, you can go over and check out our Patreon page, and you can become a member there and help support the show. We've got all kinds of tiers over there that are $2, $4, $6 just for general support, and then they just go into different tiers and different things that you get, like free merchandise. You get the show early, you get ad-free shows, you get access to video depending on the tier that you're on. It really helps us continue to bring the shows week after week, and I'm trying to put out more material for you guys. Obviously, since I'm doing this full-time, I'm able to put out 2, 3, sometimes 4 shows a week, so I hope you guys are enjoying the content. And we're also trying to go to the Smoky Mountain Bigfoot Conference. We're going to be up there in July as a vendor. So If you're going to be in that area, come by and say hello to us. We're going to have some free stuff to give away. We're going to have merchandise there. You can come by and meet Danny and I, and I'm even doing interviews on site. So we'd love to see you guys up there, and we really appreciate the support. That's how we're able to do that kind of stuff. But enough of that. I know you guys are ready for the show, so I'm going to stop talking. You guys sit back, relax, and enjoy the show. Deer Hunters Go Home. This is a story about what happened to me and a good buddy of mine on a deer hunting trip out in the Coast Range Mountains in northwestern Oregon. The trip started out with myself and a good hunting buddy of mine, Caesar, and three of his co-workers. But it ended up just the two of us because his co-workers got tired of the bad weather, and they took off on day two. Everything for us started at the end of day two of our hunting trip, when we were returning to the deer camp after dropping his co-workers off at their van several miles away. The sun was setting and we were losing light pretty fast. Caesar and I were almost back to the deer camp, and I was driving a 4x4 Suburban on an old forest service road when all of a sudden a huge buck jumped out onto the road in front of us. I slammed on the brakes and Caesar jumped out of the truck and took two shots at it with a lever action 44 Magnum rifle. He hit the deer and it ran up a steep embankment up into a stand of trees. I thought it was odd that the deer was looking behind it as if it were being chased. This thing never even looked in our direction, even when my headlights hit it. Well, Caesar ran up the hill after the deer. I pulled up to where Caesar had gone into the trees, and I kept my headlights on, and I turned the engine off, so I could hear Caesar and keep an eye out for whatever might have been chasing the deer. I yelled for Caesar, asking him if he'd found the deer, and he said, yeah. It had been trying to get away, but it was down now. He made his way back down to the truck and asked me for my .45 handgun so he could put the thing out of its misery. I mentioned to Caesar that I thought something might have been chasing the deer and that I would watch his back in case we needed to hurry up and drag the deer down so we could get out of there. I thought it might have been a cougar or something that had been chasing it. A minute or so went by and I could hear branches on the east side of the road snapping off, so I yelled at Caesar to hurry up because I thought we might be in the presence of a cougar. And then I heard Caesar fire a shot from the .45, and a few seconds later he came running out of the forest dragging the deer down with one hand. He slid down the hill and hit the side of my Suburban. I didn't know what it was. I didn't know if it was buck fever running through him, or was it the fact that I had just yelled that maybe a cougar was coming for us. But either way, he was back at the truck fast. My handgun was missing, the flashlight was missing, but he had the deer in hand. I said, "Where's my flashlight and my handgun?" He just looked at me really weird and said, "Oh shit, I dropped everything. Something else is up there, but I'll grab it." He took off back into the trees and came back less than a minute later. He had the handgun and the light, so we tried to lift the deer onto the hood of the truck to get the hell out of there. But as we were picking the deer up, it kicked me square in the chest. This thing was still alive. The point-blank shot that Caesar had fired had totally missed, and the deer was still alive. It took us a few minutes, but we finally were able to get it up onto the hood. We took off down the trail, and I had to drive pretty slow so the deer wouldn't fall off. We only had about 2 miles to travel, so we finally made it back to the camp. We carried the deer over to the berm in the forest and blocked the road with it. We draped it over the side to drain the blood so we could gut it and prep the meat. By this time, it was totally dark. I turned my truck around and pulled it forward about 20 feet. We hung the deer and bled it. It was approximately 25 yards from the camp, and while it drained, we made and ate dinner. That's when we heard the first weird sounds coming from the creek, about 150 to 200 yards away. Something was throwing boulders into the creek, into a deep spot, that was deep enough that we could actually hear the boulder smacking against the rocks at the bottom of the creek. It happened about 4 or 5 times over the 30 minutes or so that it took us to eat dinner. We had no clue at the time what was causing it, but we had plenty of work ahead of us, so we blew it off and decided to get to cleaning the deer before a cougar or bear decided to show up. We spent about 4 hours gutting and packing up the deer, and the entire time we could hear branches snapping all around us, just outside the light from our Coleman lantern and the campfire. Needless to say, we were both armed, and we would take turns guarding each other while the other would cut and pack the deer meat, still fearing that a cougar or a bear were circling us, waiting to get the scraps. But man, were we ever wrong. We finished packing the cooler full of deer meat and placed the cooler inside my Suburban. We both got cleaned up and got ready to call it a night. We climbed up into the truck and put the front captain's chair horizontal, and we were just about ready to pass out when the first of what would be about 40 handfuls of pebbles pelted my Suburban. First they hit the driver's side, and then the passenger side. I was pissed. I said, who the hell would be dumb enough to throw rocks at my rig? I jumped out and had my .45 in one hand and a flashlight in the other, and I yelled, who's out there? I'll straight up shoot your ass if you do that again. But there was no response, just dead silence. Caesar was pretty upset too. He said, bro, who the frick would be stupid enough to throw rocks at hunters who were armed in the middle of the night? I was stumped. I had no clue. I was exhausted from 2 days of hunting and climbing all over the mountains and surviving a massive windstorm, then cleaning the deer. All I wanted to do was go to sleep. So we climbed back into the truck and tried to get some sleep. I was just about out when bam, rocks started pelting my truck again. Caesar whispered and asked if I'd heard that or if I could see anything, but I couldn't. It was pitch dark. It had been overcast from the storms and there was no moonlight and we were under heavy canopy, so there was no way we could see anything. So we just sat there in silence, staring into the darkness, trying to listen to see if we could hear anything. I told Caesar if it happened again, I was going to kick on my KC off-road lights and I was going to light that place up like a Christmas tree to see if we could see what the hell or who the hell was throwing rocks at us. He agreed, and at this point we were both wide awake, so I lowered my window about 2 inches to see if we could hear what was going on around us. And then all of a sudden, pebbles hit my Suburban again. We could hear what sounded like footsteps on and off and branches shaking and snapping. But we couldn't see anything, but we could smell a horrible smell. As I recall, it instantly reminded me of a homeless guy I once knew who never showered, with a mix of rotting meat and dead animal smell. It almost made my eyes water. It was horrible. And then bam, more rocks hit the Suburban. I hit the switch and lit everything up in front of the truck, and I jumped out with my gun in one hand and a flashlight in the other. Something huge ran down towards the creek, smashing the trees, but even with my tactical flashlight, I couldn't see anything and I couldn't make out what it was. But it was wide. I was only able to see whatever it was from the waist up, and I saw a hairy back. I estimate that it was at least 4 feet across at the shoulders, and this thing was approximately 9.5 to 10 feet tall. The hair looked like it was a mixture of dark black, brown, and even an orangish color. I recall seeing muscles moving through the hair as this thing went out of sight down to the right into some larger trees. My brain didn't click to recognize at the time that it was a Sasquatch. Honestly, I was still pretty pissed off at this point about rocks being thrown at my truck. By this point, Caesar had gotten out of the truck too, armed of course, and came over to my side of the truck. We were both standing there looking down the edge towards the creek, attempting to see what the heck it was that had been throwing rocks at us, but we saw nothing. And once again, it was dead silent. Frustrated beyond belief at this point, I remember telling Caesar some dumbass is going to get shot out here messing with us, and he agreed. Just as we were getting ready to climb back into the Suburban, Caesar said, hey, look at that tree. I laughed and said, which tree? We're in a forest. We're surrounded by trees. He grabbed my flashlight and shined it just off the edge of the road, near where we had just been looking, but upward. We could see a bunch of branches about 1 to 3 inches in diameter that were approximately 10 feet off the ground that were snapped off. And as far down as we could see near the creek, the same thing had happened in the other trees. As I look back, I remember saying something like, damn, that's one huge elk. Even though I knew there was no elk that was 4 to 5 feet wide, not to mention with a rack that was 10 feet tall. And it was definitely not a bear. I'd hunted deer and bear in that area for 7 years now, and I know for a fact a bear could not cover that distance that steep, that fast, especially having just thrown rocks at my truck. We eventually got back in the Suburban to try to get some sleep. But for the next 3 hours or so, the rock-throwing game went on over and over. Me jumping out with my flashlight, turning on the KC lights, straining to see whatever it was. But there had to be more than one, because on multiple occasions, both sides of the truck would get pelted with rocks within a couple of seconds of each other. I finally snapped. I got out and fired several rounds from my .44 Magnum rifle into a stump down the embankment. It echoed through the mountains like thunder. And finally, that was the end of the rock-throwing. We finally went to sleep around 4 a.m. and we got up around 9 and made some coffee and started looking for tracks and trying to figure out what the hell or who the hell had been throwing rocks all night. We searched all around our deer camp, but to no avail. Not a single visible track anywhere. But we did find that the majority of the gut pile from the deer was gone and the ferns and the plants around it had been smashed flat. We could also see that whatever had smashed down the ferns had completely ripped the undergrowth out of the ground and left a trail of destruction down the side of the steep embankment that led down to the creek. We could also see the snapped branches in the trees that led down to the creek. After breakfast, Caesar and I decided to move to another spot on the mountain. So we packed up our camp and went up the mountain using an old logging spur road. We had to cut two trees that had fallen that were blocking our path, but eventually we made it to the other campsite. What we didn't realize at the time that several trees that had fallen during the windstorm had been dragged out and put in the middle of the road farther back, blocking our only way out. I found this interesting because we came in after the windstorm, so how did the trees get in the middle of the road, blocking our way? We set up our second campsite and decided to hike out into an old deer camp that had been blocked off a few years before. It was a longer hike than we anticipated because the Forest Service had come in and torn out all the drainage pipes under the old logging road, returning it back to nature. When we got to the old deer camp, I told Caesar that we were directly above where we had camped the night before, and that in previous years, my buddy Wade and I had been after a bear that had been in the area for the last 3 to 4 years.
Stay tuned for more Sasquatch Odyssey. We'll be right back after these messages.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kid's PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
We got to the end of the spur road that parallels the other road to our old deer camp, which we had to turn around at the end of. We looked down towards the creek and above the trees, but saw no deer or bear. When we turned to head back, we realized it had taken more time than we had anticipated, and the sun was setting fast, and there was already shade of the mountain, so we picked up our pace. Within our first 200 yards, we heard branches snapping off to our left. We looked out, but we saw nothing. We kept walking, and I took a look at my GPS, and it said we were about 3 miles, and we had a semi-technical climb to get back to our camp. Every 40 to 50 yards, we heard branches snapping off to our left. So we separated ourselves around 50 feet so we'd have a better chance of seeing the bear or whatever it was that was paralleling us on our way out. By now it was very close to dark and we only had one mag light because we hadn't planned on taking so long on the hike. All the way back to the Suburban, something was following us in the dark. It seemed to be within 50 yards, but it was always just out of eyesight. We have no clue what it was, but I doubt very seriously it was a bear. I rushed towards the sound several times, but whatever it was didn't move or make a sound. Either way, it was able to totally avoid being seen without leaving a single visible track. Once we made it back to my Suburban, we ate dinner and decided to stay the night because it was already so late. We were exhausted from the long hike, and obviously we didn't get any sleep the night before because we had rocks thrown at us. Thankfully, the night was uneventful. No rocks, no sounds. We were finally able to get some sleep. We hunted the next morning, but saw nothing. We came back to camp and ate breakfast, then we decided we better get going, because we had a 2-hour drive to get back to Portland. We headed out, but had to turn back because of the fallen trees. We tried the other way, but even larger trees were down there. We ended up spending the entire day cutting trees and going off-road to try to find a way around them, which resulted in us spending an additional night in the forest. We had no further incidents and we finally made it to the pavement of the highway, but even then we had to travel slow because of the fallen trees, branches, and debris that had been blown everywhere. We never saw any hunters or other people that could have moved those trees like that. We had to use my chainsaw to cut them and use my Suburban to drag the pieces out of the way. We didn't see another human being until we got about 18 miles from where our deer camp was. It didn't dawn on me at the time that what we could have encountered was a Sasquatch. Maybe it was because we were so tired and worrying about it being a bear or a cougar that was trying to get our deer meat. I believe we were just under so much stress that it never really crossed our mind. I'd only been living in the Pacific Northwest for about 6 or 7 years at the time of the incident, and maybe that's the other reason it never crossed my mind. But now, after having lived there for 15 years and having 2 encounters, I have very little doubt in my heart that both of the incidents I experienced were with a Sasquatch. Especially after educating myself about the subject. After 40 plus years of hunting, fishing, camping, climbing, and hiking, I've never seen deer, bear, elk, or any other animal that was capable of throwing rocks in cooperation from both sides of a vehicle for approximately 4 hours in pitch darkness at armed hunters in the middle of the night, in the middle of deer season, without being seen. I hope that someone someday in my lifetime can prove that Sasquatch is part of our ecosystem. If not, please let me know what the hell kind of animal threw rocks at me in the middle of the night that was over 9 feet tall.
Stay tuned for more Sasquatch Odyssey. We'll be right back after these messages.
Bigfoot seen from 20 feet away. When I was 11 and my mom was 40, we were on Stony Pass on the other side of Silverton, up past Animas Fork Mining in Ghost Town. After topping the pass, I told my dad that we needed to find a tree. When we hit the timberline, me and my mom got out and did our business. We were zipping up, and a Bigfoot stood straight in front of me. I remained quiet and still, and we gazed at each other. So much expression on its face. It seemed so sweet, almost loving. My mom screamed and said, "Get, go on!" And it sidestepped behind a pine, and we ran. Dad was on his way up to see what my mom was yelling about, but the thing was gone. I never thought they were in America, or that they were even real for that matter. The Loch Ness Monster and Bigfoot, I thought they were all just made up. But we knew instantly what we saw. There was no mistaking it for a bear. It was standing 20 feet away from me, and it looked so sad when my mom screamed at it. I cherished that encounter, and so does my mom, who's now 78 years old. Not one day goes by that I don't relive the event. And now, I'm open-minded to anything. Klamath River Sasquatch. Stan was out on the banks of the Bear River when this happened. The Bear is a rugged watershed flowing through wild country. In the 19th century, the river was home to the gold rush, but now it's only frequented by backpackers. As Stan finished his morning meditation by the river, he noticed that on the opposite side of the bank, the air was starting to shimmer. It became a bright fog or mist. From the shimmering mist, a large figure stepped out. Fascinated, he watched as Sasquatch materialized. It appeared to be stepping from one place to another. The creature calmly surveyed the river, and then just as suddenly, it disappeared. Stan kept very quiet, mainly out of reverence. He said a prayer of thanks because he realized that he had been gifted. At this point, he realized that Sasquatch is multidimensional. This is why people can never really catch them on photographs. He only appears to those who want to see him. The Ozark Skunk Ape. We were going to scout out a river for canoeing, and we had to go really slow because there was nowhere to pull off. We were in the middle of a violent thunderstorm with heavy rains and winds blowing and limbs falling everywhere. We made the dogleg turn, and this thing appeared right in front of us. But when he ran across the road, he raised his arms because he had to jump down. This thing was going faster than anything I'd ever seen. I said, "Did anyone else see that?" And my grandson said, "Yes." And my wife said, "Was that an elk?" I said, "It was absolutely not an elk." The most striking thing about it was its long flowing red hair. Because when it threw its arm up when it was running to make that leap, I mean, it was literally a 7-foot drop on the other side of the road, and he didn't even try to jump. I mean, he just ran off of it, almost like a sprinter going over a hurdle. It was extremely agile. This thing was at least 8 feet tall or taller. The way this thing moved was incredible. It was clearly on 2 legs, it was extremely athletic, and it crossed the road in basically 2 steps. I told people my story and they laughed at me. I mean, had I been in a different state of mind, I might have tried to stop and gather evidence. But this thing was huge. It was bipedal and fast moving. I wasn't thinking about stopping to look for footprints. I was afraid. But ultimately, I know what I saw. They say